I'm glad that you're here and to be a part of it. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to refer to the passage from verse 5 of chapter 5 all the way down to verse 3 of chapter 6. So it's a little bit of a lengthy passage I want to read today. And I've entitled this message, Walking with Christ Toward Maturity. And today's message is a little bit of, I suppose, more of a teaching message in a way. And so hear me that way as I present some thoughts from God's Word. As we make our way through Hebrews, I want us to keep in mind this mental picture of a bridge that Hebrews offers to us to walk from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it's not just us walking that journey, but it's Jesus walking with us to guide us and to teach us. But Jesus is more than just a guide for us today. I want to be clear about it, that in our day and time, we need Jesus, and Jesus is more than just a guide for people's lives. He's our Lord and our Savior. He does something to our souls and for our souls. There's forgiveness of our sins. There's remission of the penalty or the guilt of sin and the price that sin has on humanity, which is death. And the Bible teaches it's an eternal death. And Jesus saves us from that. So Jesus is a guide. But listen, Jesus is much more than that. He is the God who has come to save us. And we sing about and talk about the cross. On which Jesus died, and on that cross, Jesus was nailed, and he took upon himself the full weight and penalty of sin, of your sin, of my sin, of all of humanity's sin. And so as we are walking with Jesus, we know who this Jesus is, and we're always learning about Jesus, and that is the position that we want to be in. That as Jesus walks with us, he is teaching us about himself. In the world today, as I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the better way. There are those who don't believe God exists, and they don't have a belief in Jesus. But even to them, I propose that Jesus is the better way. There are some who do believe God exists, and they claim to believe in Jesus, but honestly, they don't represent the faith very well. They use their faith to control others. They use it to put guilt trips on others. They use it to as a means for exercising worldly power, and Jesus calls that approach out. He calls it out, and he says this in Mark chapter 10. He says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. He's talking to his disciples. He says, not so with you. Those who are believing in Jesus and following Jesus, Jesus says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become a great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. A slave is not a popular word. It's not a word that we use that much. We try to stay away from it. But Jesus makes it very clear that you are in a different kind of position in this world when you follow me. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. The one who should have been served beyond and more than anyone else that has ever lived. Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And so these words of Jesus capture us, and they are words that instruct us on who we are if we claim Jesus, who we are if we believe and follow Jesus. We are those who serve. We are those who are, as it were, a slave to others, putting others before ourselves. And so let us learn Jesus. And so as we walk with him, as he guides us, let us learn him. Let us learn his ways. Let us learn his words. Let us learn what his will is. Let us learn what it is that he does in a human heart, his workmanship, how it is that Jesus is working in your heart, even now, to form you and make you and create you, craft you into the person that he wants you to be. Let us learn Jesus. Now, the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 and verse 14 to hold on to what has been said or what has been taught about Jesus. So he's instructing those early believers, we've got to hold on to what it is about Jesus that we've been taught. As if there were other things that were being spoken of about Jesus that were not in keeping with what had been taught about Jesus and what Jesus had taught about himself. You know, Jesus shapes us. We don't shape Jesus. His word shapes us. We don't get to determine what his word is to us. So today I want us to do what the writer of Hebrews tells us to do, and that is to hold on to what we have been taught about Jesus. To hold on to it. So let's seek to understand and apply it in holding on to Jesus in our daily lives. So let me read our passage, and then I want to share some thoughts with us today. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. This is how it was with Christ. He became a high priest, but not just because he wanted the honor of being one. It was God who told him, "You are my son, because today I have become your father." In another place, God says, "You are a priest forever, just like Melchizedek." Verse 7, God had the power to save Jesus from death. And while Jesus was on earth, he begged God with loud crying and tears to save him. He truly worshiped God, and God listened to his prayers. Jesus is God's own son, but still he had to suffer before he could learn what it really means to obey God. Suffering made Jesus perfect, and now he can save forever all who obey him. This is because God chose him to be a high priest like Melchizedek. Much more could be said about this subject, but it is hard to explain, and all of you are slow to understand. Verse 12, but now, by now, you should have been teachers. But once again, you need to be taught the simplest things about what God has said. You need milk instead of solid food. People who live on milk are like babies who don't really know what is right. Solid food is for mature people who have been trained and know right from wrong. Chapter 6, verse 1. We must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ. We shouldn't need to keep talking about why we ought to turn from deeds that bring death and why we ought to have faith in God. And we shouldn't need to keep teaching about baptism and about laying on of hands or about people being raised from death and the future judgment. Verse 3. Let's grow up. Let's grow up, if God is willing. And I want to tell you, it's God's will, and he is willing for us to grow up. God bless your word, and bless it as we seek to understand it and apply it to our lives. Amen. The first detail that I want to point out is that chapter 5, which is what I've just read from, is connected to chapter 4, verse 15. What does that say? It says this, "For we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Rather, we have one, that is Jesus, who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin." What the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that we have a high priest who gets us. Jesus gets us. He's not like us in that he didn't sin and he wasn't encumbered by sin. But he gets us. He empathizes with our sin. He empathizes with our weakness. He understands every weakness of ours. So if I'm going to stand up here and preach to you about a God that loves you and has some expectations of you, I want to tell you that that God in Jesus Christ knows you, and he empathizes with you, and he understands you. So here's how I want to break down my message today. I want to talk about a basic teaching. Then I want to talk about a deeper understanding or a deeper teaching, and then I want to seek to get to a little bit of application. All right, so here's the basic teaching from this passage. Jesus is our high priest. Now, here at Robertsville, we're not people who have always been in church. We're not people who were, you know, were all raised Baptist. We've got some new believers, or we've got some folks even in our church family who are not yet followers of Jesus. And so I don't want to bypass what I believe this passage is getting at, and there's a basic teaching here. Now, the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, you're dwelling too much on the basic teaching. You've got to get on beyond the basics. But we can't get on beyond the basics until we know the basics, right? And so Hebrews here lays out a basic teaching about Jesus that helps us to walk from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament religion, in the Old Testament Bible, we can read about the religion and the practice of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, and they had priests that would carry out the religious requirements, the sacrifices, and they would care for the temple and the tabernacle and the temple, and they would be sure that the worship of the people, the worship of the nation, was as it should be according to God's word. In some ways, the priest was a go-between. The high priest stood between God and the people. And so it was a necessary person, a necessary position. Well, this basic truth is that Jesus is our high priest. There is no other human priest that stands between us and God. Jesus mediates between us and God. You can think about it as sin creating this great distance in relationship between us and God, our Father, our Creator. And our sinfulness, our disobedience, our rebellion, our humanity separates us from God. But Jesus spans that gap. His life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, dwelling in heaven today with the Father. It bridges that gap that is between us and God. He mediates between us and God. He's a mediator. He reconciles us. He brings us close to God. And so the high priest, Jesus, is our high priest. This is basic biblical truth about who Jesus is in relation to us. So you can't really call yourself to be a follower of Jesus if you don't know who Jesus is for you and for me. Jesus is our high priest. And so it has very strong and powerful meaning for us in our lives. What does it mean for Jesus to be our high priest? Well, first of all, he goes before God the Father on our behalf. Today, Jesus is in heaven. It says at the right hand of the Father. And he is mediating for us. He is pleading for us. It says that he is, in a way, praying for us to the Father. He's working on our behalf. We can't see it. We may not know it. We might wonder sometimes whether he's doing an adequate job. But I want to tell you today, he is doing an adequate job. And he is mediating, advocating for us on our behalf before the Father. That's what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. Well, it also means this. I've already mentioned this, that he is our mediator. He mediates between us and the Father. And then another way is that as the high priest was not the sacrifice, but the high priest offered the sacrifices. Well, as the high priest, Jesus not only offered the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. And it says that he was the sacrifice once for all. Never again would a sacrifice need to be made to cover over the sins of the people when Jesus died. Once for all. So that's what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. He mediates a new and better covenant. And that's what Hebrews does. It gives us a bridge to go from an old covenant, an old way, an old relationship with God to a new way, a new covenant, a new relationship with God, from the old to the new. Jesus takes us there. He mediates a new and better covenant or relationship with God. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 24, we won't get to it today, it says this, that Jesus' blood speaks a better word. That's his death. When it talks about the blood of Jesus, it's talking about the death that Jesus died for us. That death on the cross speaks a better word than the old word. That's what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. This is what the priest did in the Old Testament. And Hebrews tells us that this is who Jesus is for us in the New Testament. That's the bridge from the old to the new. And that is the basic teaching. Now, it says in our text today, there's more that could be said because this is not an easy thing to understand. And so it does carry a little bit of mystery. Sometimes it's not easy for us to wrap our minds around all that the Bible teaches. But it's a basic teaching about who Jesus is. And so as a believer and as a follower of Jesus, you need to incorporate that into your understanding of who Jesus is. He is not just a guide. He is our high priest. Now, the second point is this. I want to move from the basic teaching to the deeper teaching. Or another way of saying it is that there's something more that Jesus does. Okay? So there's always more in Christ. We might be growing spiritually. We might have had some really mountaintop experiences with the Lord. And we're riding so high with Him. And it's like Satan can't touch us, man. We're bulletproof. But I want to tell you, as good as it is, as sweet as it is, I want to tell you, there is more. Can you believe it? Can you believe there could be more than the good that you're tasting now? But there is always more. And that's what I mean when I say a deeper teaching. It's Jesus taking us, guiding us, walking with us to the more. Whether it's higher heights or deeper depths or wider expanse, Jesus takes us there. Now, in this work of taking us of that more in Jesus, there are a couple of things. Jesus corrects us. So there's a correction here in this passage. And we have to be open to Jesus correcting our lives. You might not always like somebody meddling in your business, but when it comes to Jesus, He has the right to correct us. And we need to be open to Him correcting us. But He not only corrects us, He calls us. He calls us to be more than we are right now. All right, now, look back at verses 11 through 14. I'll take time to go back there. It says, much more could be said about the subject. It's hard to explain, but you are slow to understand. So He calls them out, you know. And by now, verse 12, you should have been teachers. But once again, you need to be taught. So there's correction here. The writer of Hebrews is correcting the people, saying, you know, by now you should have taken strides toward not just being taught, but to actually teaching. Okay? So hold that there in your mind. The believers are corrected for not being concerned about the teaching of Jesus as high priest. That's another part of the correction. They wanted to hear the same basic teaching over and over and over again. But they weren't concerned enough about it to put it into action. Just keep teaching me about it. Just keep teaching me about it. I'll come to church and, preacher, give me a good sermon. But when it really comes down to it, I'm really not interested in there being any change in me, any change to my attitude, any change to my thinking, any change to my behavior. I just want you to give me a good sermon and let me go about my life. And Hebrews calls out the believers on this and says, no, it ought not to be that way. You want to hear the same basic teaching, but you're not concerned enough about it to put it into action and to let that basic teaching grab hold of you and bring about the change that God desires. It's like they were saying, keep feeding us the same old stuff. Yes, Jesus is our high priest. Yes, and amen. Just keep on feeding it to us. But nothing about them ever changed because Jesus was their high priest. They were still needing milk like an infant instead of food for the mature. So here's the deeper teaching. This is not like a heavy burden that's coming down on us, condemning us. But here's the deeper teaching. Here's where Jesus wants to take us. Jesus expects His people to be growing and maturing in their faith. There must be growth and maturity in our spiritual lives. Chapter 6, verse 3 says this, let's grow up. Let's grow up. Let's don't stay where we've always been. Let's don't stay where we are right now. Let's keep on growing and let Jesus guide us to that place. So that's the deeper teaching, or that deeper place that Jesus wants to take us to. In other words, it's like Jesus looking at us eye to eye and saying, I want more for you. I have more for you. And I want you to be open to it and to follow me into it. Which leads me to the third point, and this is kind of a point of application. Sometimes I hesitate to make application because I'm not your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that needs to be making application of His Word to your life. But maybe it's a suggestion about how we might can apply it. Chapter 6 and verse 3 says this again, let's grow up if God is willing. And I'm here to tell us today, God is willing. He wants that for us to be growing in our spiritual lives. This is God's will. This is His design. It always has been His design for your life and mine to be growing spiritually, to be believing in and following Jesus with our lives. This has always been His will for us to know Jesus as our high priest, as our mediator, as the one that goes between us and the Father. God has always wanted us to know that and to live into that. So, God's will is for us to grow up. Yes. It's called spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. And spiritual growth leads to, ready? Spiritual action. So spiritual growth doesn't just make you smarter, more knowledgeable, or maybe even more devout or more holy. It actually translates into spiritual practice or spiritual action. Or another way of saying it is that when Jesus really gets hold of you and is working in your life, there comes a point where you are spiritually stepping out or leading out. It's no longer about you just remaining seated where you are, in the pew, in the class, wherever. But that Jesus is leading you and guiding you deeper to begin to step out or to lead out or to act out spiritually. You can tell if you're growing spiritually by how much change you can detect in your words, in your thought patterns, and in your actions. How much change can I detect in what God is doing in my life? Do I kind of keep tripping up and spinning my wheels and I just end up staying in the same place year after year after year, decade after decade after decade? I've given up on trying to move ahead with Christ. Well, spiritual growth is about us moving. It's about movement from place to place, from origin to destination. Spiritual growth is about, here it is, growing towards something. Spiritual growth is about living out something. Spiritual growth is about us taking responsibility for ourselves and not blaming others. Spiritual growth is about growing into some level of spiritual leadership. Now, spiritual leadership doesn't always mean standing up in front of a people or teaching a class. Sometimes it means that you disappear into the background or you disappear down into a place of serving and sacrificing for others. Mother Teresa, she disappeared into the slums of India and began serving and sacrificing her life for others. So, but I would say that that's spiritual leadership, because as Jesus told us in Mark 10, that's the kind of leader I want you to be, a servant leader. Now, verse 12 sets the expectation. It says, by now you should have been teachers. Well, some of us might not consider ourselves teachers. Well, so hear it this way. In other words, rather than being taught, your growth should put you in a position to teach. Rather than remaining in a place of feed me, feed me, feed me, you should be in a place where you're ready and willing, with God's help, listen, to pass on what God is teaching you. That's what I believe it's saying when it says that by now you should be teaching. By now you should be willing to pass on what it is that you've been taught and taught and taught. Basic teaching should lead to growing deeper in Christ and maturing in our walk with Him. Needing to rehash the basics over and over again means, at best, that we are satisfied remaining like spiritual babies, not growing. And at worst, that we don't really care to learn Jesus. Just feed me the same old stuff. In the Old Testament, the priest did everything. But in the New Testament, we do our part as we walk with Christ towards spiritual maturity, learning from Him, learning Him, and growing spiritually. Now, I'm about to wrap it up here. You may be in a place where you say, you know, Pastor, I really need to continue learning the basics about Jesus because you're now beginning to take Jesus seriously. And so there are basics that you need to learn. And so learn those basics. It's necessary. But for others of us, it's time to begin putting into practice all of these basics that we've known and been taught for so long. Putting them into practice, that which we already know, passing it on. You might not think of yourself as a teacher, but whether we realize it or not, we're all teaching something. As we all continue to mature, let the thing that we pass on, let the thing that we teach be Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time, for your word, for this place of worship where we have met you. Thank you for your presence, for your voice speaking to us. Continue to form us and make us into the people that you design us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one last song as our final act of worship, and so I invite you to stand at this time, and let's respond to what it is the Lord is speaking to us.